In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Amen. Well, we're going to look now at, the Christmas Eve liturgy. But before we look at it, I'm going to pause in our work on Verbum Domini for a week or two so that we can reflect a bit on liturgy, and particularly on the liturgies that we're going to be doing now. We have Christmas, we have Epiphany, we have the baptism, and so forth. First, the history of this feast. It's important to realize that the feast is the feast of the physical presence of God on earth. And it was the date for it was selected because Christ is the light of the world. And December 25th was the feast in the pagan calendar of the Sol Invictus, the unconquered sun, because we've just finished the winter solstice, and we're starting now into spring, four days into spring. It was a big pagan feast, but it's a feast of light. And so because it's a feast of light, very early, we have evidence of this feast, at least by the 4th century, and probably much earlier, in Rome and elsewhere. And so it's a feast which celebrates the presence of divine life among us. When we speak about Christ appearing, we mean in flesh. There's nothing more obvious as we're here. Here in my room and you wherever you are, the most obvious thing is the presence of the Trinity. But it doesn't appear because in our present state, it has to appear through matter. For instance, a tiny example, Euclidean geometry. All the angles of an isosceles triangle, one with all sides the same, are all the same. They're all 60 degrees. Now, you should know that. I can draw you a picture, and then you could plot, if you remember geometry. Well, but it's an image that gives you an intuition into a phantasm, into the reality of what I've said has appeared to you because it's taken on, as it were, flesh. And so you see, which will be the feast of the Epiphany in a way, but it's also the feast now. And so it's the feast of light. God has appeared to us. God has manifested himself to us in flesh, in this child. And then that flesh, entering into the whole history of flesh, finally takes upon himself all the sins of the world, and through his flesh, you see, offers it back to God the Father in an act of love. And that's, you see, when you make satisfaction, as St. Thomas points out, you give to the offended party something of equal value or greater value than that which he lost. Well, what did God lose in the sin of Adam and our sin? Respect and love. So Jesus came, you see, and it's in the act of love in which he died that he gave back to God that respect, that obedience, and that love which he lost through the sin of Adam. And in our name, the very Son of God himself gave it back to the Father. And that's our salvation. And that's the meaning of the cross. Here we're at the other end. However, if this were not this birth from Mary, there would be no cross. And so one of the themes of the feast is, as we're going to see, especially at the day Mass, It's the appearance. But for God to appear, he has to take on some matter. He can appear like at the Exodus, or at saving Jerusalem, or in the life of somebody. But it always has to have some historical dimension to it. Now, there are deep experiences of prayer that are mystical. But as Aquinas points out, they too take place in a very mysterious way. I may have the quote with me here. The medium is still something in our imagination or in our mind, but we're not aware of that. We're aware of what is revealed by it, that is God himself. And until we have the beatific vision, that's the best we can do. But when we see God, his very being, the whole being of the Trinity, takes place in us, and we live by that. That's when we really see God, because there's nothing in between now. His life is our life. So we celebrate the beginning of that. Well, the beginning, of course, is March 25th, the Incarnation. Today is the manifestation. Today, the Son of God begins his own human life outside the womb. Now, that's what this is all about. We have a lovely hymn. I think it's 2nd century Latin hymn. O admirabile commercium, creator generis humani, animatum corpus sumens, de virgine nasci dignatus est, and so forth. It says, oh, wonderful exchange, the creator of the human race, taking an ensouled body to himself, deigned to be born of the Virgin, and coming forth without male cooperation, has made a gift to us of his Godhead. Isn't that beautiful? That's this hymn, O admirabile commercium. What an exchange. We give on him our humanity, and he gives us his divinity. That's Christmas. You see, that's the Christmas gift. Now, you see, we're going to just take some time to reflect on what is a mysterion. We've been doing this a lot, but I thought it would be good to look at it. The definition of a mystery is God's plan as it is revealed. In Mark, for instance, Jesus 4:11, Jesus told them, to you is granted the mystery, which is the kingdom of God. But to those outside, everything comes in parables. I have many more. I'll just quote St. Leo here. The words of the apostles and prophets teach us to think of the Lord's birth, wherein the Word became flesh, not as a past event which we recall, but as a present reality upon which we gaze. Liturgy has that capacity, you see, to make time present. Now, this is the way it works, so far as we can give words to it. God acts. That act, you see, is a revelation of his glory. And we'll be looking at that in a moment. You see, the kavod. Now that kavod lives, as Leo says here, you know. But it lives, you see, by a certain momentum. And the revelation of the glory has this momentum through memory. Memory is that by which the kavod is present again to us. And there are two ways that, in this life at least, that kavod is present. The first is through this momentum. Your momentum, you see, through memory, allows the renewed presence to have its effect in us. That's what we mean by the grace of the mystery. You see, the presence of light is new this Christmas. It's different. It's a renewed presence. That means, and where is that light? In the body of this infant. Because it has to appear, you see? And so the event, you see, sets up momentum. And this is perpetuated by memory. And the two ways that memory is perpetuated is narrative, story, the Bible, the inspired, divinely written account of these manifestations, huh? And through ceremony. Do this in memory of me. And that's why, as the Church says, you see, that the Eucharistic liturgy is the source from which all its life flows and the goal to which it all tends. That's our life. When we get to heaven, the memory will be total, absolute, overwhelmingly beautiful presence all the time. We will see God, you see. The narration, we will understand the story. God's plan from creation through Adam to now. So what we're celebrating here, you see, is this notion. I want to give you a definition, something I wrote in a text I was writing. The kabod or glory is the mysterious, imposing, and ineffable presence of an I who makes himself perceptible while remaining hidden, who manifests his power and radiance through events and cosmic phenomena, who invites and powerfully elicits a response of adherence, obedience, and trust, which results in praise. You see, so the kavod is this presence, Sinai. But the greatest kavod, in a way, is the birth of Christ. Because here is God appearing to us, showing us what he's like in flesh. Isn't this awesome? I wonder what God's like. Look at Jesus. You know, St. Teresa of Avila says she was advancing in prayer. She heard somewhere that paying attention to the humanity of Christ was an obstacle to deeper levels of prayer. You find this a lot in the New Age and centering prayer and all that type of stuff. She said, "Oh, my Lord, I nearly was trapped. But finally I understood that it's in your flesh that you are most present, most revealing, even in the highest reaches of mystical prayer." That's very important. Because if people do try to do away with Jesus, they're going to be in trouble. God doesn't do away with the humanity of Christ. It's in heaven with him, glorious and radiant. And that's what we celebrate. The birth of that, you see? And so that's how we grow in the knowledge of the mystery, you see? It's through prayer. I want to prepare, in the next section, I'm going to talk about memory in the sense of how this world needs history and the different views of reality, the biblical and everybody else.